It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get him, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
I'd be sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock! That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Love us some Omni, Nashville Hotel. We flip the page to hour number two, and on Wednesdays, right here in this slot, it's Kevin Hagan. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Good morning, Bill. How are you doing?
So we were having some fun last hour reminiscing. I know there was really no plan B because Mal Moore had to get Nick back in late 06, early 07. But if for some horrible by Alabama thinking reason that he wouldn't have taken this job for whatever reason, who was next in line? Coach's hot seat said Petrino. Who do you recall?
Well, it's really funny, and like you said, it's a question that Alabama fans are really great. We never had to answer. Mal Moore, you know, joked at the time that had he not gotten Coach Saban to agree, he would have just flown on to Cuba and stayed. And then Alabama President Robert Witt, who was a great president, may well have thought that was a great idea. I don't really honestly know where Mal Moore would have gone from there. In all honesty, I think there's a possibility that Mal could have said, I throw my hands up and could have maybe stepped aside then as athletic director, although Mal certainly wasn't a quitter. Yes, Bob Petrino was a name that was mentioned. When I look back to that, and I've kind of played the what-if game myself, one of the fears that I've always had is that at that point, you know, Mal, because he waited so long to wait on Coach Saban, the pressure was enormous had that not gone through. I've always feared that he may have picked up the phone and turned to his longtime friend and former Alabama player Richard Williamson, who was the then wide receiver coach of the Carolina Panthers. And if you remember at previous coaching searches that Mal Moore was in charge of, Richard Williamson's name was mentioned, the Shula hiring being one of them. I've always kind of feared that he may have called his buddy, but I'm just really glad, Bill, we never found out about that.
Interesting, because I remember sitting there in New York doing my show, and it was December, and that Rich Rod thing was going down. And it went from that Friday morning, he's going to take the job, to a couple hours later, no, he's not. And I just remember because – and we weren't on Twitter then, but it was everywhere else. It was all through the media and everything else, and – it looked like for a second, you being the Alabama aficionado that you are, did that same Friday morning you feel like Rich Rod was coming?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I dropped my sons off at the middle school that morning, and the young man who kind of oversaw the morning program there, he was a big college football fan, and I remember boldly telling him that Rich Rod, and he was a WVU fan, telling him that Rich Rodriguez was going to be the next head football coach at the University of Alabama. I said it kind of smugly, as a matter of fact. And then, wow, as the day went on, and it the next 48 hours, it really changed. And when Rich Rodriguez turned Alabama down, I mean, there was kind of a sense of panic among the Alabama nation. And then the rumors started about the great wait with Coach Saban. All I have to say, Bill, is, and I'm sure every Alabama fan would agree with me, Had Coach Saban not gotten off that jet on January the 3rd, 2007, I shudder to think where this Alabama program would be. And a person that Alabama fans need to remember, one of the greats of the program, Billy Neighbors, and the Neighbors family, that's one of the great families of Alabama football. Billy Neighbors had a whole lot to do with helping secure Nick Saban as the next head coach at the University of Alabama. And he isn't always given the credit that he's due for that, but he had a huge impact on that hiring.
Do we know how many times Nick actually turned Malmore down before they got him?
I've heard a couple. I mean, the ace in the hole in Mal played his cards, and he was right in guessing that Terry Saban was not happy and that Terry Saban wanted out of Miami. She wanted to get back to a college environment, and he put all of his eggs in the Terry Saban basket, and she's literally the one that came through for him. You know, Coach Saban mentioned yesterday at his post-practice press conference talking about the passing of Wayne Huizenga, and he said that other than his father, Mr. Huizenga was one of the most influential people in his life, and I think he called him one of the, you know, someone that he respected more than anybody else. Coach Saban had tremendous respect for Wayne Huizenga. I think he would have been okay staying in the NFL, but as I've said on this show many times, it's a unique partnership between Coach and Saban and Terry, and she kind of calls the shots, and she wanted to leave, and he left, and Alabama fans are certainly certainly thankful that he did. I cannot describe to you the words and the emotions that I felt that day watching on TV, watching that plane land at the airport there in Tuscaloosa and watching Nick Saban get off that plane. I just cannot describe the emotions that I, and I'm sure every Alabama fan on the planet felt. It rescued the program, quite simply, Bill. I shudder to think where we would be without Coach Saban.
My vivid memory of that, though, And
oh,
I know,
yes.
the drunk lady.
Oh, yes. Yes. You know, Coach was taken back by the tremendous outpouring of emotion and all the fans that were there at the airport, and people were literally lining the road all the way as the motorcade took him, into campus where he stayed the night before he was officially announced the next day as the head football coach at Alabama. And later, you know, he talked about that he and Terry were just absolutely blown away by that. That had never happened before. They'd never arrived at a job before and been met with such an outpouring of love and appreciation. And then, of course, the record-setting attendance at A-Day in April when the fire marshal literally had to turn people away. That just showed Coach Saban, you know, it kind of reiterated to him the decision that he'd made to come to Alabama. And let's be honest, Alabama hadn't won a national championship since 1992. The program was adrift, and we were starved. We were so starved for leadership and direction, and there wasn't a better hire in the world for that than Nick Saban. It was January 3rd and January 4th were two great days in the lives of any Alabama fan. That's certainly sure, Bill.
So yesterday, Tua was at practice, and he looked gimpy, but he's throwing the football, huh?
He is. He's throwing the football, and, we're at the point where I'm not saying that the practices are important, but my caution to Alabama fans is, you know, don't get caught up in this person's here and this person's moved here. This is the experimental phase. Yesterday was the very first day they put on all the pads and played real football or whatever. But and it's hard. And Coach Saban alluded to yesterday. I mean, they have, and I talked about it last week, they literally have so few people in the secondary. It's really hard for them to conduct some of the drills that they want to do. Tua's throwing the ball. They did not have to end up amputating that hand, Bill. What do you know?
Do we know yet? Will he be available for the spring game, or how does that work?
You know, I think it's kind of a wait-and-see attitude. He was spinning the ball a little bit yesterday in some short passing drills. I think they're going to take a real cautious approach with him in the spring game. I mean, the last thing you need to do is have him get further injured in that game. So I think it'll be it'll be the telltale sign. I'm anxious to see if he participates at all in the two scrimmages on April the 7th and April the 14th. If he doesn't participate at all in either one of those, then I would suspect that we wouldn't see much of anything of Tua in the A-Day game, which I know would disappoint Alabama fans, but in the grand scheme of things, It's not the end of the world. I personally am, as I mentioned last week, I'm really, really excited to see Mac Jones get the added snaps, and Mac Jones will certainly have a larger role in the A-Day because of the Tua injury. So if I was a betting man, I would say that we probably won't see Tua on A-Day, but I could be wrong.
I'm just skipping around here a little bit, but sure. We were talking with Scott Moore yesterday, and Alabama's schedule, the way it lays out, seriously. Now LSU on the road, even though LSU hasn't – they've played some close games with Alabama, but they haven't beaten them since 11. This schedule looks incredibly navigational. They're going to be favored. And I'll ask Brad about this Friday, but in every one of these games, the way it looks right now, they're probably going to be favored by double digits. Every one of these games.
You would think, certainly the Louisville game, they would be the out-of-conference schedule, and this is where Alabama fans once again, and I want to talk about the Texas and Notre Dame ones if we get a chance. Arkansas State, Louisiana Lafayette, and the Citadel are the other non-conference games. You got A&M at home. Missouri's the rotational game. The Missouri Tigers come to Bryant-Denny Stadium. You got Mississippi State at home, and I've heard some people talk about how I've heard one person yesterday say they think Mississippi State may be the – was it he that said that he thought Mississippi State may be the number two team in the West? So you get State at home. You do go to Knoxville. You do go to Baton Rouge. You do go to Fayetteville, and you do go to Oxford. But it's a pretty favorable schedule leading down to the Auburn game, and, of course, that's always a tough game. But, it's not one of Alabama's, quote-unquote, tougher schedules. Simply because of the headliner of the Louisville game. Last year we were talking Florida State, and there's just not as much buzz about playing the Louisville Cardinals in Orlando.
So what's the story? Kevin Hagan with us, everybody, talking Alabama. What's the story on future games with Notre Dame and or Texas?
Well, as it came out, Alabama is in discussions with Notre Dame and Texas about adding them to the schedule, not in these neutral site environments that we've had under Coach Saban since 2008. Of course, 2007, we played Florida State and Jacksonville midway through the season. We're talking about home and home series, and there's a lot of excitement from Alabama fans that would like to see this happen. But quite honestly, if you look at the Texas schedule and you look at the Notre Dame schedule, to be real honest with you, Bill, I don't know how we could see at the earliest, I'm thinking 2025, 2026 as possible dates, because you look, Texas has USC and LSU and Ohio State and Michigan in some series, and Notre Dame has Wisconsin and Ohio State and Texas A&M and Arkansas in some series. Of course, Notre Dame has a little bit more flexibility than Texas does with their scheduling because of that quote-unquote unique relationship they have with the ACC. But it's not something, unfortunately, that I don't think we're going to see happening anytime soon, which also raises the question of, will Coach Saban still be on the sidelines for any of these games? I'm not sure, but it is something exciting for Alabama fans looking ahead. I mean, Texas is a team that Texas has only played Alabama once in Tuscaloosa. It was in 1902, Bill. They actually played on the quad. For people that go to games in Tuscaloosa and tailgate, where all the tailgate tents are right across from the president's mansion there, where Denny Chimes are, that's the quad. Well, that's where Alabama played football in 1902. The field ran parallel to University Boulevard. Now Alabama's only been to Austin twice, and that was in 1915 and 1922. Much like Notre Dame, Alabama and Texas have only met up in bowl games. You know, there was the famous Cotton Bowl in 1964 where Tommy Nova supposedly stopped Joe Namath, although it was really interesting that center Galen McCullough and Joe Namath were laying across the goal line, but they said he was stopped short and Texas got the win, and Coach Bryant made the famous statement of, well, if Joe Namath could have walked in and handed the referee the football, there wouldn't have been any doubt. Notre Dame, I mean, I'm excited at the thought of Alabama playing Notre Dame again. They've played very few times in the regular season. Of course, the famous matchups, the first time they met was the 73 Sugar Bowl, the quote-unquote game of the century at that time. They met in the 75 Orange Bowl, which is, of course, Eric Parsegian's final game as a Notre Dame coach. But in terms of home and home series, in 1976, Alabama went to South Bend and lost a close one to Dan Devine's team. 1980, Notre Dame came to Birmingham, Legion Field, Coach Bryant, the last time Coach Bryant faced Notre Dame, Dan Devine and the Irish got out of town with a 7-0 win. And then, of course, there was the, for Alabama fans, the famous moment, the 1986 game in Birmingham when Alabama won 28-10 and Cornelius Bennett laid the big hit on Burline, the famous radio call that I think every Alabama plays over and over, Paul Kennedy's, Doug Layton's call of, you know, Bennett buries Burline at the 25, and Burline never saw Cornelius Bennett. I think I've played that 10 million times over and over. And the last time they met in the regular season was in 1987. Alabama went up to South Bend, and it was Lou Holtz versus Bill Curry, so we all know how that turned out. Notre Dame won. So I'm excited at the thought of Alabama getting to go to Austin, Texas for a game and getting to go to South Bend for a game. And I'm excited for the thought of seeing those two teams come to Bryant-Denny and play in Tuscaloosa. And I just can't begin to tell you how many messages I've got from Alabama fans saying, hey, let's plan road trips. These are must-watch games that we need to be at. And I'm excited. I think this is a trend. I think Alabama fans are beginning to think that these neutral site games, and they've served Alabama well. They've served Alabama well not only in terms of wins and losses, but also revenue-wise. But I think Alabama fans and the administration are beginning to realize that they need to start sprinkling in some more of these home and home series, and I don't think these will be the last that we see these two teams.
I was just thinking, Kevin Hagan with us, before the 2012 National Championship game, which was Notre Dame-Alabama down in Miami, mm-hmm. I was talking with Jerry DiNardo, who's now with the Big Ten Network, and Jerry played it. Notre Dame, and he played in that 73 Sugar Bowl, which was mm-hmm. in the old Tulane Stadium back yes. then. And he, but what was interesting is he said, and he played offensive guard, he blocked Mike DuBose in that game, who was on the yeah. other side of the ball. How about that?
He was. Remember, that was a rain-soaked night at Tulane Stadium, and a great game. Tom Clements found Robin Weber there for on a key third and sixth play when Notre Dame was backed up deep in their territory, which kind of preserved the win for Notre Dame. I think of all the games that bothered my dad the most that Coach Bryant wasn't able to win would probably at the top of the list would have been that 1973 Sugar Bowl against Notre Dame. That one haunted him the most. I wish my dad had been alive to see the 2012 BCS championship game to kind of erase that memory. But that was a great game. And you remember the build-up before the game, you know, Coach Bryant, Eric Parsig. And it's really crazy to think, Bill, that the two, arguably, two of the most historic programs in the history of college football never met on the field until 1973. That's kind of crazy, Bill.
Kevin, great stuff, buddy. We will see you next week.
Enjoy it, Bill. Roll Tide, everybody.
Kevin Hagan joins us every Wednesday in that segment, and it's always very, very good, as you can tell. Dude knows his stuff. You think he does any homework? You think he keeps up with Alabama at all? He knows his stuff. That was a big find by the show. I'm glad we were able to do that. Coming up in, about 40 minutes, we've got Josh Newberg down there in Tampa, St. Pete. We also have Taylor Ham talking Aggies a little bit later as well. Let me tell you about tickets, PrimoSeats.com. PrimoSeats.com, that's P-R-I-M as in Mark, O-Seats.com. Best seats, best prices. I should say best seats, best prices, just to make that clear to everybody. But remember, just remember, tickets to anything. It can be sports-related. It can be non-sports-related. PrimoSeats.com. Use the name Bill Is King, 5% off. You're going to San Antonio for the Final Four. If you're needing your tickets to a random game, like Buckeye Brenda the other day telling us, PrimoSeats.com. If it's a concert, like Eric up in Indiana, coming here to see the Foo Fighters, PrimoSeats.com. If you need a ticket or tickets, that's where you go, PrimoSeats.com. Coming right back, Crazy Charlie will get you there. Omni, Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning, Tina. I just moved this crash here that occurred on 24 eastbound at Harding Place. Good thing it wasn't on the westbound side. That's where the heaviest flow of traffic is. Look, with this rain out here, things are starting to slow down. A lot of wrecks are starting to pile up. Give yourself plenty of extra travel time. If you're looking for the best bargains, check out GiveMeA5.com. They're in Clarksville, Lebanon, Dixon, Madison. That's GiveMeA5.com because you never know what you're going to find. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Hello and welcome back to the Ronnie Deutsch Tax Program. On the line is Paul from California. Hi, Paul. What's your tax problem today?
Hi, Ronnie. Love your show. Listen, I've got a big problem. You see, my paycheck was garnished last week, and I'm only getting half the normal amount. To make matters worse, the IRS froze my bank account. Listen, I'm embarrassed and scared. I need some help.
Listen, Paul, you don't need to feel embarrassed. You just need some tax help. And the great news is the IRS has some unbelievable programs that can eliminate your tax debt, so you don't have to worry about having your paycheck garnished or your bank levied. Doesn't that sound great?
It sure does, Ronnie.
Then do yourself a huge favor and get a free consultation right now. And tell them the tax lady sent you.
855-758-0950. 855-758-0950. 855-758-0950. That's 855-758-0950.
Nissan of Rivergate in Madison is your Nissan dealer for huge selection, huge savings, and huge trade-in allowances. For over 25 years, they've been making Middle Tennessee car buyers happy with the very best in customer service. In addition to their huge selection of new Nissans and huge selection of quality pre-owned vehicles, Nissan of Rivergate has award-winning service, parts, and body shops on site for your convenience. Nissan of Rivergate is located on Gallatin Road in Madison, 2 miles north of Old Hickory and 1 mile south of Rivergate Mall. Plus, you can visit them 24/7 at nissanofrivergate.com.
Part of you won't be satisfied till you eat made-to-order food that's hot and meaty like a meal. You want Penn Station East Coast subs. This is the food you daydream about. Grilled steak and onions covered in melty cheese with baked bready goodness and fresh-cut fries. See it with your mind's eye and smell it with your mind's nose. It's what dinner and lunch were meant to be. Answer your craving with something truly mind-blowingly delicious. Penn Station, hot, meaty goodness.
Coming up this week on Checkpoint Radio, some of the largest companies in video gaming are teaming up to combat toxic behavior in online environments. We'll discuss the Fair Play Alliance as well as debate the final round of our 2018 High Score Hall of Fame. That's all coming up on your source for esports and video game discussions, Checkpoint Radio from Westwood One. Join me, Nate, Robbie Norris, and Joe for Checkpoint Radio.
7 to 9, Sunday nights on Nashville Sports Radio.
If it happens anywhere in college sports, the Bill King Show will be there to bring you the facts.
Hotel, some widespread panic there. Love it. Very underrated longtime band out there. Widespread Panic. I threw this up on Twitter a little bit earlier, and it has to do with the spreads of the final four games. You got Michigan by about 5.5, 6-ish, depending on the moment, depending on the sports book. You got Villanova by about 6. And I've had various angles on Twitter about these matchups. The one game I'm at least confident in is that Michigan's going to win. I don't think, as much as I like Sister Jean, I don't think Loyola Chicago gets past John Beilein and the mighty Maize and Blue. I just don't see it. Villanova and Kansas, I feel like Villanova wins, but I'm not nearly as confident there. And then you've got the points to deal with, because if you're going to be betting the thing, you got to deal with the points. Be interesting when we get to Brad on Friday what he thinks about this. Is there a money line angle? Is there a side like the over and under? something like that that may be a little bit more attractive. Another item that has popped up on the show this morning would be the new NFL rule, which is the lowering your head rule. And let me pull this up so I can properly deliver it to you. The college game does not have this rule yet, but you know they're going to adopt it at some point, probably soon, just because that's what they do. They like to mess with stuff. And this is off ESPN. NFL owners passed an unexpected rule Tuesday that will expand penalties for contact involving helmets, one that is more significant and far-reaching than the NCAA's targeting rule. The irony there is the one area where I think the NFL does better than the college game prior was they rarely ever called targeting. Well, they fixed that with this rule. They've gone way past it. It goes on to read, under the change, a player will be penalized 15 yards and potentially ejected any time he lowers his head to initiate and make contact with his helmet against an opponent. It will apply to tacklers, ball carriers, and even linemen. And it will take the place of a previous rule that limited the penalty to contact with the crown of the helmet. The NCAA's targeting rule penalizes players only when they hit opponents who are in a defenseless position. It calls for mandatory ejections, but the NFL's competition committee has not yet addressed how ejections would be adjudicated. There is little doubt, however, that the NFL is determined to aggressively address the 17 season that included 291 concussions, its highest total on record, including the severe spine injury to Ryan Shazier. So think about that. And again, not that we're talking about it from a pro point of view, because we don't talk pro football on the show. But from the love and passion of the Saturday game, the college game, which we love and adore, can you imagine when they adopt this rule, what that makes the games like? They are going to further mess with the game that we love in the name of making it perfectly injury-free. Now, I'm embellishing a little bit. I understand. You literally could take a game and make it as disruptive as you want by making calls about a player randomly, accidentally, not meaning to. It's just natural, lowering your head. I'm telling you, man. Did any one of us want to see that? And college doesn't have it yet, but you know they're going to go down that road. You and I know that. College football loves to mess with stuff, particularly that doesn't need fixing. They love to get their hands all over stuff, right? Just saying. David Waters, Bats Gator Dave, says, Bill, it's a slippery slope with them erring on the side of caution. I still say it's the league's more protecting themselves more than the player. I'm more okay with the penalty than I used to be, but I'll never agree to players being ejected for a judgment call. Tony says, Bill, new rule comes down to not using your helmet as a weapon. Tony goes on to say, I agree. Nobody wants to be sued and lose their butts down the road. And also nobody wants to see somebody on a stretcher. I understand that there are concussion and worse concerns, even than that, when it comes to football. But you cannot perfectly legislate safety on the field, and I think they've gone too far. Anybody that straps it on and plays football understands what the potential risks are. And again, I hate this analogy, but I'll use it. Just like you understand when you get in your car, and hopefully you put on your safety belt, or when you walk across the street, or, you know, name the other old-time, long-time examples there. There are risks involved with that. And you can keep legislating all you want. I mean, how far down the road are we going to go with this? Now you can't lower your head accidentally? How many penalties are we going to see per game if they actually go by the letter of the law here? 614, Rob says, Bill, the SJWs are now dancing in the streets. I'll say this about the SJWs that we have in this audience. The SJWs that are also big-time college football aficionados who listen to this show, I don't know that they're dancing in the streets over this one. Now, random SJWs maybe that aren't as passionate about college football as this audience is, but I think the ones that like college football do not want to see it disrupted. They want everybody. Look, we all want people to be healthy. We all get worried when we see somebody injured. We don't want to see that ever. But there's the game we love, too. And there's the risk involved. It's a violent, physical game. It's a risky game. It's the most risky of the sports that we have. Mainstream sports, for sure, that we have. Something about that we like. We like the physicality. We enjoy it. It's highly popular here. College football has become so popular, even more popular through the years. It's incredible. So, yeah, I guess that gives me and you, I know you're going to lay this on me, but I, during a random college football Saturday now, I guess the tweets are going to be even more aggressive because we're going to be watching a random game left and right, and we're going to see eventually when they adopt this rule, somebody lower their heads, not even meaning to do anything, and they'll call it and then eject the player. Just awful. Absolutely awful. You understand with that ejection rule now, if you get ejected for targeting in a college game in your bowl game, you're sitting out the next, what, half of the next game, depending on when it happened. Yeah, it carries over. It's like cell phone minutes. Jim down in West Palm. Bill, it's getting ridiculous. This is just the beginning. They're going to eliminate kickoffs, too. It will be interesting to see players get blown up because they are not allowed to lower their head when they're about to get tackled. It actually is unsafe. Yeah, you're right. They keep walking up to that line, and I'm saying this metaphorically, not a real line, but walking up to that line when it comes to kickoffs. They've been doing that. You're right. And eventually, they're going to eliminate that. In the name of collisions now, no more kickoffs. I'll tell you what you ought to do. Here's what you do. Go to the 50-yard line, right in the middle, where you toss the coin, and do a basketball jump ball, except do it with the oblong spheroid. Here's an idea on the fly. You take whoever you want, your best jump ball guy, tall guy on your team, who's got some leaps, and the official tosses the football up in the air, hopefully fairly, and both players tap it. Whichever team gets it right there can start like a rugby thing. That's how the game starts. Instead of kicking it off. Did you like the, what was it, the XFL? Remember what they did? They put the ball in the middle of the field, one player in one end zone, another player from the other team in the other end zone, opposite end zone, blow the whistle, and they both run to the ball and compete for it. That's how they determine who gets first possession. I remember, who was it, Jesse? The Body Ventura? He goes, no. I remember the very first game. He goes, no. We don't kick it off. We actually compete for the ball right out of the chute. Actually, now we all know there's no way they're going to adopt this. But do you think it would be exciting if they did that? Let's say it's Alabama and Auburn, Ohio State, Michigan. And to start those games, the ball's put right in the middle of the field. And pick your guy, whoever it is. One in one end zone, one in the other, and you run to the 50, and whoever gets the ball, that team has possession. You compete for it, baby, right there. Would that be more exciting? Since Jim down in West Palm is right, eventually they're going to take kickoffs from us. They're going to eliminate that. He is dead on right. Southeastern Termite and Pest, 615-293-0722. Love this topic, everybody. And we have had a good time out there hustling business, talking to people, building relationships. And it's been a wonderful learning experience. I love, and it's been a long time since I've stepped out of my my area of expertise. But I've always wanted to grab a business, invest in one, have a business where I could do something separate with part of my day, and then, you know, have something for the kids too. It's been fun, man. Right here in Middle Tennessee, the need for termite and pest control is like any other area. It's very important. And we are pricing everything for your business under the competition. And there's a lot out there now. So termite, pest control, moisture, fungus, bed bugs, ants, ticks, fleas, spiders, wasps, just about anything else, 24 hours a day, any day of the week, 7 days a week, 615-293-0722. That's the number, and dial it up anytime, 615-293-0722, Southeastern Termite and Pest. We'll get the break. Bill King, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. We're looking at bumper-to-bumper traffic here. It's at a standstill on 65 southbound, south of OHB in Brentwood from an accident. It's a good thing it wasn't northbound. Look, you're going to have to give yourself extra travel time out here. It is a mess as they clear up that wreck 24 eastbound over around Harding Place. If you're looking for the best bargains, check out GiveMeA5.com. They're in Clarksville, Lebanon, Dixon, Madison. That's GiveMeA5.com. You never know what you're going to find. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company. Got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 4ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.4ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 4ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Do you use the blue pill to charge your sex life? Have you been thinking about trying the blue pill? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pill delivers the exact same results for less than $3. We'll do the math for you. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. Want more? We'll give you 40 blue pills or 40 yellow pills for $99 and add 4 more pills free. You save more than $500. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what to do next. You need to call and get your 44 pills for just $99. Stop overpaying for the other blue pills. Call us and start saving a ton of money for the exact same results. Ordering is fast and easy with your pills delivered to your door in a non-marked package. 800-814-5031. 800-814-5031. 800-814-5031. That's 800-814-5031.
Nashville weather.
Here is a look at your SkyWatch weather forecast for today. Showers, windy, high today in the upper 60s. Tonight, more showers, low in the mid-50s. Tomorrow, showers, possibly a thunderstorm, high in the upper 60s. And tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, low in the upper 40s. And it looks like sunshine will return back in the forecast over the weekend, both Saturday and Sunday. I'm Commander Chuck with your SkyWatch weather.
Body clock is set to college football and nothing else. It's Bill King.
You're listening to The Bill King Show, the only college football radio show proven to make you smarter.
At the Nashville Hotel. Did you see the Tuesday Jeremy Pruitt comments from practice? Now, Tennessee's interesting because he's got to sift through all this mess and get them back right. And I'll repeat, I think this is a good hire. But he says yesterday he came off the field ticked off. This is from a Saturday Down South piece. And it's a quick read. It says, Volunteers have a lot of work to do ahead of them if they're going to improve last year's 0-8 record in league play. According to the new coach, Jeremy Pruitt, Tuesday's spring practice session didn't exactly help matters. In fact, Pruitt said in his press conference that he was unhappy with the team's performance. He said he came off the field angry, and it sounds like it was from the defense, mostly, that drew his ire. Jeremy Pruitt, quote, I came off the field ticked off today. I'm not sure if that's because the whole team was bad or just because the offense kicked our tail at the end. Vols take on West Virginia and Charlotte to begin the 18 season. And Pruitt said there are still plenty of spots available for that week one roster. Quote, we still don't know who's going to be on the bus with us to Charlotte and who isn't. Yeah, you do. You know mostly who's going to be on that bus. Even if it's from a group that did not fare well last year. You know who's going to be on that bus. Now, I'll say this. You know which quarterback you're going to pick? You might not. Yeah, you may have no idea about that one, but you're going to be all right. I'll get a Buckeye on. We need somebody, probably Dave Biddle. Hopefully I can get him, maybe tomorrow. We'll get him on. Probably circle back on some Michigan talk to pacify Mark up in New York. Even though I don't think he's a big Maize and Blue fan in particular, he just likes the topic. He's a college football dude. Loves that topic. And we've got Newberg coming up in a couple of minutes, top of hour number two. We have also Taylor Hamm checking in with us here in a little bit to talk some Aggies on this Wednesday edition of the show. On Twitter, at BillIsKing, 615 Rob says, let's just call it now the National Flag Football League because it's coming. What's going to be interesting is how will the NFL, when it starts coming to all these just zillion-dollar contracts and everything else, and fewer people are watching the NFL, we know that, TV ratings down, depending on how you spin it now. You can twist and contort that any way you want, but down some. Certainly crowds are down some. Same with college football in some cases, for sure. But when these rules become so oppressive that it starts hurting the game from a significant popularity point of view, and you start losing dollars somehow that way, what do you do? And that's the question. Because they are significantly over-legislating here. We do know that. Undecided tweets, Bill, I've got Loyola and the reason, and it's a picture of Sister Jean. It's pretty clear there, right? Sister Jean, as much as I love watching her and as much as I enjoy the story, will not advance to the championship game. They are not getting by your beloved Maize and Blue. Well, I just had all of you loving the Maize and Blue. I know that's not the case. For those who love the Maize and Blue, you will advance to the championship game against, I'm thinking Villanova, but I don't like that number necessarily, that -6 that's sitting right there. And I don't know that I think Michigan gets past that. I think it's another championship game for Michigan, if you're asking me, and it's another second-place finish, which is a hell of a season. It's just not the Natty. That's what I think we're looking at right now. That's what I suppose we're looking at right now. The Louisville hire of Chris Mack was a hell of a hire, too. Now, speaking of digging out, he's got a lot of that to do. 7 years, 28 is the contract. But that's a very, very good hire. They nailed that one. And coming down just from the city of Cincinnati to take that gig, and he'll get that back right. Louisville is all messed up right now, and they just got their new AD that they put in place. But that was a very, very good hire. Let's get the break. And did you see the news that Wilton Speight is considering coming back to Michigan? Did you see that? I'm sure that's got the Maize and Bluers from this basketball conversation of being in a Natty to Wilton Speight kind of a buzzkill. We'll kick it around just for a second on the way back. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. We're looking at bumper-to-bumper traffic here. It's at a standstill on 65 southbound, south of OHB in Brentwood from an accident. It's a good thing it wasn't northbound. Look, you're going to have to give yourself extra travel time out here. It is a mess as they clear up that wreck 24 eastbound over around Harding Place. If you're looking for the best bargains, check out GimmeA5.com. They're in Clarksville, Lebanon, Dixon, Madison. That's GimmeA5.com. You never know what you're going to find. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Do you use the expensive blue or yellow pills to charge your sex life? Are you thinking about it? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pills deliver the exact same results for less than $3. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. And right now, radio callers will get 44 blue or yellow pills for $120 with free discreet shipping. You can save more than $700 off pharmacy prices. Charge your sex life now and save a ton of money. Call now and get your 44 pills and save over $700 and qualify for free shipping. Stop overpaying and call right now.
800-764-9168. 800-764-9168. 800-764-9168. That's 800-764-9168.
Bob's Steak and Chop House, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, is a nationally renowned steakhouse specializing in the finest corn-fed Midwestern prime beef, gigantic shrimp, fabulous salads, and decadent desserts. Classic steakhouse food prepared and presented in a manner that Bon Appetit calls the kind of fare you'll want to go back for again and again. Voted one of the top 50 restaurants in the country by Travel and Leisure magazine, one of the most romantic restaurants in Music City, and awarded the 2016 Wine Spectator Award of Excellence. For reservations, simply call 615-761-3707 or go to OpenTable.com.
Hey, what you reading?
The Ledger. There's a great Titans column by David Clymer.
So it's a
sports publication?
Not just sports. Here's a great cover story on why Middle Tennessee's real estate market is so hot. The Ledger has stories written by some of Nashville's best, most experienced journalists. There's information on the Mid-State's fast-growing restaurant scene, profiles of community leaders, and data that helps generate leads for my business.
And sports.
Including UT coverage from Knoxville.
Is it expensive?
It's free. It's available at hundreds of locations and at tnledger.com. It's the Ledger. Pick one up today.
Smashville is your home for the NHL Western Conference champion Nashville Predators. And WNSR is your home for the best coverage. Redneck Nation Radio is on Nashville Sports Radio. Every game day morning starting at 5 a.m., Crazy Charlie Saunier and his crew take you around the league with updates, interviews, and more. For the best coverage of the Nashville Predators, make sure you're locked in every game day morning starting at 5. For Redneck Nation Radio on Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM. Bill King is the king of college football, and his sample size is large. Just ask him.
Omni Nashville Hotel. This is a CBS reader about Wilton Spate. Says Spate could reverse course and return to the Wolverine program after announcing his initial intent to graduate and play his final year at another school. Coach Jim Harbaugh confirmed Tuesday on his podcast, which is called Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast, that while Spate is weighing his options, a return to Ann Arbor is not out of the question. Quote, I don't rule it out completely, Harbaugh said. Wilton is going to be a graduate transfer. Wilton graduates in May, and he's weighing some of his options. He's first taking a look and seeing what else is out there to see who is in need of a starting quarterback, but he hasn't closed the door on coming back. Goes on to read, the door being closed or open likely hinges on the NCAA's decision on Ole Miss transfer Shea Patterson's eligibility. The rising junior has filed a waiver with the NCAA and hopes to be granted immediate eligibility despite being an undergrad, claiming that former Rebel head coach and good friend of mine, Hugh Freeze, and the staff misled him. On Tuesday, Harbaugh said the process is still ongoing. Wilton Spate coming back. Now, I would assume the only way he doesn't come back, or let me flip that. The only way he does is if he finds out Shea Patterson's not going to be able to play this year. Then again, would you pick him over Brandon Peters? Well, they did last year. Matter of fact, it didn't even appear that Peters was able to even compete much for the job. Isn't that the way it looked? So it looks like that's what they prefer there, but God knows, man. I would get on with it, man, into the future. Also, they're saying now, and he's put on some weight, but Dylan McCaffrey's look good too. They've got Brandon Peters sitting there, and then you have, again, Shea Patterson sitting there. So what are you going to do with the quarterback situation? Isn't it funny, and I know we've talked about this a lot on the show, but how many of these historic powers, blue bloods, get locked into this funk where they can't get it right with quarterbacks? Whether it's they sign a guy who's not as good as they thought, maybe they get a guy and they don't develop him, maybe they get a guy and the system doesn't work, or isn't it funny how that works? It's not funny if it's your school. But how does that happen at these schools? Schools of this level. How do you get out there like Michigan and be so bland and average, if not below average, at quarterback? And all that Florida has gone through at that position. All that Texas had gone through. And we can name other schools. LSU, same thing. I mean, these are monster, heavily resourced funded, everything you need schools. And they can't seem to get that right. And I don't know of anybody, including LSU fans, that think that Orgeron's going to get it right. West Coast Sooner tweets this morning, Bill, my heart says Loyola. My head says Nova. Picking those two games. Remember, Loyola against Amazing Blue, Nova against Rock Chalk Jayhawk KU. So if it's Nova, Villanova against Loyola, how about that? I think it's Michigan against probably Villanova in the championship game. Now, how would you bet that? That's up to you, because both games are around -5.5, -6, somewhere in there. Hour three, just literally seconds around the corner, and we will have Taylor Ham with us. Bottom of that hour, we'll have Josh Newberg immediately down in Tampa, St. Pete. We'll talk Knowles and whatever else comes out of the conversation. Omni Nashville Hotel.